Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I have a good friend of mine here today. His name is Scott Yopchek. He is a pro golfer over at Wilmette Golf Course. He is a coach, and we're going to get into it. What's going on, Scott?
Not much, man. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me. Thanks for coming in. I know it's a shitty day out today. It's raining.
It's been that way all spring.
I know, but it's better off being inside, and we're here.
It is, and thanks for the invite.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get into how you got into coaching and all that fun stuff and where you grew up.
Yeah, I grew up northwest side of Chicago, Elson and Lawrence. For those of you who aren't familiar, I always just say kind of where the Edens and the Kennedy split.
Yeah.
My grandfather, my dad, uncles all played golf. I didn't play it much until probably 13. Played all the other sports and then kind of took a little bit more of a liking to golf. Was lucky enough to play in college and then kind of fell into coaching.
Well, where did you go to school first?
Sorry.
Where did you go to grade school?
I went to St. Ed's.
Okay.
Then I went to St. Pat's.
St. Pat's all-boys school?
All-boys school on the west side. Yep. No, my whole family's gone there. My dad, two uncles, three cousins.
I know. I went to Gordon.
So you're right there. All right. So down the street. So yeah, I've been in Chicago my whole life. Went to DePaul. Played a little golf there. And then after school, tried to live out the every golfer's somewhat dream of trying to play a little professional golf. So
but we'll get there. St. Pat's had a golf course. I didn't even know that, or a golf team.
Yeah, we had a team. It was funny. We recruited like daily to see if we could get enough kids to come out and play. And you know, big thing was we didn't always have a home course that was the same. So finally, we talked our coach into trying Robert Black in Rogers Park. Even though it was a hike from St. Pat's
all the way down to, it's almost like Evanston, isn't
it? And that was our home course from my freshman year all the way to senior year. When I say we didn't always have a home course, I was privy to, they would play at Caldwell, they would play anywhere they can get on, Edgebrook they were playing at.
Okay.
You know, and not to knock those courses, but obviously if you play golf and
Cook County courses you know, suck.
when we were playing, or at least in that time, they still had mats, they didn't have grass tees.
Yeah.
And so at that time, Robert Black and all the CPD courses, Chicago Parks District, were being run by Kemper.
So they
were in good shape, ran well. And so it made sense when we were hosting meets to be at a course that was better manicured, even though it was a little off the beaten path for everyone coming to it.
Right.
And it's a fun little 9-hole track. So I grew up playing there. So, yeah, I caddied at Bryn Mawr Country Club.
That's awesome.
So it's right there. So, you know, you would caddy there. And then on the days that I was golfing or wanted to practice, mom or dad would give me a lift down over to Robert Black.
Yeah.
And I'd hang out there for the day and then get picked up.
So because of your grandparents or your grandfather and your dad, that's why you got into golf? Or is it
dad was a golf nut, like to call it. You know, just loved the game, was into the game. Read about the game, and so he was the one who always kind of, you know, before I was into it during the summer, you know, would drag me out on the 90-degree day to go practice, and I'd be like, you know, just Spalding from Caddyshack, right?
Yeah.
Not today, Grandpa.
Right.
You know, it's 95 out. We're going.
Right.
You know, and at that time, I didn't appreciate it as much. I appreciated it a lot more when I got older, and we still did it.
Yeah.
You know, but that's how, you know, he kept when I say pushing it.
No, he was pushing.
He was pushing.
Come on, let's go.
No. Yeah, he was pushing in a way, but not to the point where it was like every day, right?
Right.
You know, it was like once a week, we're going.
Yeah.
You know, and so then as I got a little older and a little more into it, traded baseball for golf, and then just kind of rode it, you know, through high school into college, and here we are today.
I know. You know what? I think, because I went to Gordon, I think we had a golf team too.
Had to have.
But we never saw anybody. Nobody ever said, like, wore a jacket that says, I'm a part of the golf.
No, right? No, I know.
It was football track or baseball.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody ever.
No doubt.
I'm a part of the golf team.
110%. But I mean, to a point where my freshman year, I mean, we had guys on the team that, you know, couldn't break 50.
Yeah.
You know, our coach was the math teacher. You know what I mean? So just. Yeah. But I like the bus driver, right?
Yeah.
You know, so as I became a senior at Pats, it became a little better, a little more competitive. We had more kids coming in that were playing and just more guys my age that were starting to play a little bit more. You know, I got my best friend into it.
Right.
And so, yeah, like I said, we would be recruiting on open houses like, hey, do you play golf? Or, you know,
yeah.
Are you interested in anyone that would linger around the table? You start trying to chat them up just because you try and figure out if you're going to get someone that's decent coming in.
Right, right.
You know? So just kind of city kid my whole life and just grew up liking it and then started developing more of a knack for it, I guess, and kind of rode that wave a little.
Well, you know, it kind of sucks, especially being grown up in the city. I mean, I never would have even thought about golf. I kind of, now that I love it and then I'm a fanatic when it comes to playing golf.
Yep.
I wish I'd have taken it up or even knew more about it back then.
Sure.
When I was growing up, but it wasn't like on my radar.
Yep.
Because one, where are we going to practice?
There weren't a lot of options.
In the city, it's either Diversity Range, which is still available.
Yep.
That was it.
That was pretty much it, right?
And where can you practice? Like, seriously practice. So that's why it wasn't even on my radar.
There weren't many options, you know, so.
Not growing up. And even still today, there's not really many options. I mean, you can go, like we're talking about the Forest Reserves, but you actually have to play.
Yes.
You can't just go to practice and swing and work on stuff. You have to go out there and look like an idiot and lose a million balls.
Yeah, and like you said, look like an idiot. So I think a lot of people get turned away without having a place to go.
Because there's nothing close. I mean, even the north side, Diversity, is the only place to go hit, period.
Yep, unless
outdoors or any place on a mat.
Unless you're willing to hop on the expressway and go way south to Harborside.
But where are these kids going to go?
I mean, they're not going to go that far. That's
and
too
I know
far.
Tiger's got his whatever that what's his foundation that he's got the for the kids something one or whatever it is, and I know Chicago has one of the
Chicago first tee
first there you go
the first tee,
and I think one of the first tee is at one of the courses along the lake
Merivitz or Waveland depending on how you know it,
but Merivitz you can't even play. I mean, it's part of the first tee,
right?
But there's no practicing range there.
No, there's no range. It's just short game. Yes, that's it.
That's it. Again, so where do you go to practice unless you drive Diversity?
Uh-huh.
I know. Yep. Trust me. When they were going to do the Topgolf, I was like, that probably would have been pretty decent when they were going to take over the old Vienna.
You know what's funny? I never visualized that. Like, I just couldn't visualize Topgolf being where they were talking about. Because you imagine how big Topgolf is.
Yeah, I know.
And I just could never look at it and be like, yeah, that fits. Like, I
thought it would have been a gold mine. I don't know what happened. I mean, obviously the city fucked it up, which the city's fucking up everything. But fair something enough. Happened
yeah.
as to why it didn't go through.
That would have been a home run.
Yeah, I think it would have been
for the location.
Or even anybody who would have been able to come up with something like that. Because at least it would have given a more centralized area, at least for the north side, to be able to go hit somewhere other than having to go down to all the way down to the lakeshore.
Go east, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I wish there were more opportunities. You know, they tried to do that when I was in college. They had that course that was that little 9-hole course down in the city in between the skyscrapers off of Lower Wacker.
I didn't even know about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to look that up. It was hilarious. I mean, I can't remember if it was 9 or 18, but it had a range and then like a 9-hole. I remember it being 9 holes, but right down on Lower Wacker Drive, like you literally go all the way down and it was in between the skyscrapers. It was cool.
You know what? Now that you mention it, I do vaguely remember something.
When it went away, I could assume why it went away because now there's a
skyscraper. That property down there is worth so much
money. So I'm sure someone came in and said, we're going to buy this and build.
Yeah.
Which is what they eventually did. But there is something when you're like hitting a 9-iron at a right at a skyscraper and you hit it and you're just, your initial reaction is sit. You know, it's going in the window and then you realize it's another like 200 yards away, but your visual tells you that's right there. But I would say that I think golf in the city, it's more popular now. So I think people make a means to go wherever they need to practice. But yes, when we were younger,
there was
you know, in 19, in the
80s,
mid 90s, different eras.
I was like 80s, early 80s. Yeah,
but there's nothing. Very similar, it was slim pickings. You know, you either played. Well, when I told you my grandpa would take me, we drove all the way out those days that we would go.
Yeah.
We went all the way out to Links and Tees in Addison. Or we went to Fresh Meadows Range because they had a short game area, bunkers, and a driving range.
Yeah.
But Links and Tees was my grandpa's favorite. So as you can imagine, as a kid, you know, it's 90 degrees out, you're 10, 11, and you know you're in the car for 45 minutes with your grandpa who drives 55. You're sitting there like, God, listening to like WBBM news radio the whole way there, the whole way back. You're there for 2 hours, you know, practicing. But you wish there was something that was in the city that had those amenities.
Yeah, but then you look back at the memories now.
And yeah, like, and it was awesome,
but now
right?
You appreciate them. We're like, hey, that was actually pretty cool. That was kind of like
big time. That time. Yeah, you know? So yeah, so... So yeah, golf's been very good to me, and especially from growing up in the city, I don't think it's quite the norm,
no.
You know, that I stuck with that, cause baseball was a big part of my life, you know, when I was younger, and then, you know, it was pretty simple. Pops was like, baseball or golf. And this is when I was 12 and,
yeah.
You know, I love baseball, but I was starting to kind of get a little better at golf, and I was like, I think I like this a little more.
Yeah.
And I was a little better at it, you know, at least I thought I was,
yeah.
You know, being maybe a little ego in there.
You have to have a little
yeah,
bit.
No doubt. So yeah, so here we are, like I said.
So then you graduated from St. Pat's, and then you got did you get a scholarship to DePaul?
When
you
I did. Yep. That's
To play golf.
That's the main reason why I went there. Funny quick story is my little sister, who's 3 years younger, you know, as she got older, would come visit, you know, when she was a senior.
Mm-hmm.
And she went home and told my dad, like, I liked DePaul, and he just looked at her and said, you're dreaming. And he's like, you're going, he said, in-state schools first, and if you want to go somewhere else, that's fine, but yeah. I'm not sending you down to DePaul because we live at Elston Lorne. So I forget the mileage. I think it's 8 miles.
Is it that?
You know, from where I grew up to DePaul from.
Okay.
So like Elston Lorne to Fullerton and Sheffield.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's less than that, but. He's like, I'm not paying for you to go to school that close.
40 grand a year.
Yeah, whatever it was.
Or whatever
back then.
Back, yeah.
So, yeah, Scott was fortunate enough to get a scholarship to DePaul. Played there.
How did you get recruited? Did they come out?
It was a little bit of, yeah, coaches come out. It wasn't as big, you know. I remember my senior year sectionals at Buffalo Grove. There were a handful of college coaches out there to watch myself. And 3-4 other guys that in my class were really good sticks. Pat Goss was one of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember that. It made me so nervous. You know, you see Pat out there because you knew who Pat was because he recruited Luke Donald. And so it's like, yeah. God, Pat's out here. You got to try and play well. And I was playing with two guys that one went off to play at Wisconsin, one went off to play at Indiana.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, legit, like, players, you know. So yeah. I think so how I got recruited, the person I was taking lessons from, Dan Kochevar, had a good stable of players and a good connection through the college ranks and knew the coach at DePaul and said, or took a chance, you know, per se, and said, hey, you know, take a look at Scott, and had my visit there, had a good time, you know, down Lincoln Park as a 17-year-old.
Of course. I mean, you're growing up in Chicago. I mean, what else? You know everything around there.
So
you know what's
like,
going on.
Yeah. You know, and so I liked the guys that were there and felt like the right place and, you know, signed my national letter of intent and spent 4 years there hanging out. As I like to say, you know, I feel like when I was doing that, you know, we were definitely more on the social side, which if any of my old teammates are going to see this, they'll 100% agree. And it's gotten a lot more serious, I think. You know, I feel like even though you still have that thought in the back of your head that, you know, if I got a little more serious, I can take my game to the next level. But, yeah. You know, you kind of missed the boat where, you know, 4 years in a row, you should have tried. Not that we weren't trying to get better, but I feel like once you got
there.
You were
kind of living the college life at the same
time. Trying, I mean, it's hard not to, you know. Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's.
And you're in Chicago, too. I mean,
yeah, you're in Chicago. As a student athlete, your schedule gets taken care of as best they can to fit the golf schedule.
Yeah.
You're out of town a lot. You
I like
know,
how you said that. You're like being politically correct. Like they take care of your schedule.
Yeah,
they kinda,
you know, they
kind of help. They help.
Yeah,
a little.
Big time. And so it was. I mean, I tell people it was an awesome 4 years. You know, it was a really cool experience. And where I was going with that, I feel like, you know, back then it's like if you got that opportunity,
yeah.
It was kind of like you made it. You know.
Yeah.
You got D1 scholarship.
Oh yeah.
You put
huge.
The time in when you were younger. Yeah. And now you're here, and so it's kind of not that you. Ease off, but it's kind of like right. A little bit of a notch in the belt, I guess.
Yeah, for 100%.
At least I took it that way,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
where
wouldn't you?
You know, and then, you know, you always think in the back of your head where, or at least I did, you know, maybe a little naive or a lot naive that let's move down to Florida. Let's see what we got. Learned real quick. You didn't have it.
Yeah. So what was your home course for DePaul then? Is it still the same course?
It was another thing where backtracking into not having a lot of opportunity. My freshman year was Glenn Woody.
Where the hell is that?
way south.
Okay.
Then it was Harborside, and then eventually my senior year, we bounced around at Highland Park up north.
Oh, yeah.
That was our main spot once we got in there. But no matter where we went, it was 35 to an hour.
Yeah.
You know, and then coming home, because we usually got to practice around noon, and then coming home in rush hour was always an hour.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no real great options.
Right.
And then, I don't remember if it was my junior or senior year, but when they built the new student center, they hadn't had it fully figured out yet in terms of what they were going to use the space for.
Right.
So our coach got the AD to get us room, like almost a room like this, to be honest. And so we ended up getting like a few hitting mats, putting greens. But I mean, it's the best you could do. And then we were still going to diversity when it was snowing outside to hit balls. You know, so it wasn't, because that was before Sims.
Yeah.
You know, and really quick story, and this one's for you, Josh Sellers. we literally had a chip off in the gym with Big Mosses. Keeping points. Now, granted, like anything else, you know, everyone's playing the same course. Everyone's doing the same thing, right? And I distinctly remember this. I lost, so I didn't get to travel on the trip whenever it was coming up. This was in the winter.
Okay.
And I remember walking out, slamming my hand against the – we were in the gym, you know, at the student center. Or not student center, the athletic center.
Yeah.
And that's how we were deciding who was going to the next tournament.
Just by the chip-off. Wow.
Like the chip-off, putt-off.
Yeah.
And I wasn't happy. I let everyone know that. I was like, this has no bearing.
Right.
How we're going to play in fucking Florida.
Yeah.
You know? What? I can chip on a Big Moss on top of a gym floor? Is that supposed to be me? And again, I get the idea, but when you lose.
Nobody right? likes losing.
No, nobody likes losing. But at the same time, you're not buying into what was being put out there to see who travels, right?
Right.
You know? I would have rather flipped a coin. You know, at that point. But again, it was an awesome experience.
Yeah.
All my best friends are from college. So, yeah, it was a really cool, really cool time to be there.
Yeah, but you guys still play together, don't you? The guys that you guys were on the team with?
Yeah.
You still go on trips and stuff?
Oh, yeah, we still go on. We haven't been able to do it as much. We used to call it the Blue Demon Invitational. And as life goes on, it's a little harder to pick spots, dates, how much you're going to spend, who wants to spend that much. But we try and keep it up every year. You know, most of us, you know Dusky.
Yeah.
His family's been doing a tournament or an outing in Wisconsin for the past 4 years. And so the guys that fly into it are a little more sporadic, but the guys that are local, we usually all, that's usually where we see each other now.
Yeah.
That's become like the BDI because it's always the last weekend in July.
Yeah.
So it's always on the calendar. We have a good time up there.
That's awesome.
So it's good to keep in touch with the guys you got to play some golf with.
That's cool. So your senior year, you decide, what, I'm going to try and give it a shot to see if I can make it somewhere?
Yeah. The only regret I have from when I was in college, you know, I was working at Bryn Mawr Country Club still, working in the shop.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you either worked 7 to 3 or you worked like noon to close, but then you got to play, right?
Yeah.
And so I was a marketing major, and my dad always had said, you know, maybe junior, senior year, see if you get an internship downtown. And I always just was like, yeah, whatever. You know, no, I'm practicing. I got to practice. I got to play golf. Like, that's what I need to do. So, yeah, senior year, one of my teammates, Drew Mayhew, he's from Canada. He and I are still pretty tight. Haven't seen him in a minute. But the point is that this is right when the Canadian Tour became very popular.
Oh,
so the Canadian Tour is still around. So it's like the step below Korn Ferry.
Oh, okay.
You know, you have that in the Asian Tour, so the Asian Tour and Canadian Tour were, I don't know as of today, but back then the Canadian Tour is like pretty legit, had a full tour, a full schedule, I should say. So,
not to stop you. Yeah. So where does that fall into, like when you hear like the Nike Tour or the, you know, the,
yeah, like, you know, where, so like where? To me, the Nike Tour is what the Korn Ferry is.
Okay.
And then the guys that weren't on the Nike Tour would go play Canadian.
Okay.
You know, so it's like the third down, right?
So like, but I mean, look at the AA, AAA.
Yeah, yes, yes, 100%. So if like the Korn Ferry was,
that would be like AAA.
AAA, okay. Canadian was like the cross between triple and double.
Okay.
You know, I don't know how different it is in baseball. Yeah,
don't send us comments and hate mail that we're messing this up.
but you still, I mean, you would have good sticks. Like oh my God. I believe his name was Casey Wittenberg. I remember going to the practice round before Canadian Q School started. And Casey Wittenberg played at Oklahoma State and was a big name in the early 2000s. USAM names, you know, national title type of stuff.
Yeah.
And so there were some legit players, at least at that qualifier that we were there.
Yeah.
Anyway, Drew was like, what are you doing? And I said, what do you mean? He's like, after graduation. I said, I don't know yet. He's like, well, me and Pemby, one of his buddies from Canada, who's already on the Canadian tour, he's like, we're looking to rent a house in Florida. And then there was also a tour called the Cleveland Tour. It was based out in the Northeast.
So how many tours are there that you can – I mean, is it still that way too? Where there's
I don't think it's like that. This is when these like little mini tours, you know, it was cash buy-ins. You know, the Cleveland Tour was more organized. I remember playing one called the Moonlight Tour when I was down there, where a husband and wife ran these one-day events. You know, every event was a little bit of a different buy-in.
Okay.
But it was like payout that day, you know. Like,
what's the payout? I mean,
anywhere like from $1,200 to $2,000, you know, for one day.
Right.
You know, and you pay anywhere from $150 to $200 to get in the event. Okay. They cap it at a certain amount of guys, but it's a one-day go, almost like a skins game, but for your score.
Okay.
Winner take, not winner take off, first, second, third got paid out. So you're playing legit other pros in money games that are just sanctioned.
So does that count towards you going to anything else other than that's just you trying to make some money?
And I'd have to do my homework, but I don't remember if the Cleveland Tour held any ranking or status back in the day.
Okay.
But the Canadian Tour did. Anyway, of course, you know, I was 21. I said, yeah, sounds like a brilliant idea. Let's go. You know, so I lived in Tampa for 6 months. And like I said, when you're down there, you realize kind of where everyone else is and where you're at. My college coach called and said that there's going to be an opportunity at Oakton Driving Range to coach some golf. So I was like, all right. So drove back.
Oakton here?
The Oakton Driving Range, not the one in Skokie, but the one in Park Ridge. There was an LPGA person there, Christy Vick, who was there for 20 years. And from what coach told me, just said had built a good book of business, does very well for herself. Yeah. Check it out. So I drove up, gave an interview, and I said, worst case scenario, if it doesn't sound right, I'll drive back and hang out in Florida and do that, however that works, right? Whether you get a job, caddy, work at a club and play golf, keep doing that. And I think at that point, a little bit – dose of reality set in that gonna kind of have to, you know, I didn't want to be 26, 27 knowing where I think I would have fallen on the totem pole in terms of professional golf to let that opportunity slide by. So I took Park Ridge up on it, interviewed, got the job, and then was there for 11 years, and here I am 10 years later at Wilmette still coaching.
So when you found out that you were probably not up to the scale of all the other, how did that, like, what really went through your mind? Where, like,
when you look,
I mean, because you think you're good, obviously.
Yeah, and then no doubt.
You see these guys are pinpointing shit, and then you're like, what?
I think the big thing is you realize how much more other people want it, right? Like I was telling you, like, the guys that want it now, you know, when they're 17, 18, it's like they're already projecting, like, what am I going to be doing 21, 22, where they're putting that time in now.
Right.
Not doing my college lifestyle for 4 years. But, you know, it's deflating, you know, because, you know, you think you are decent, you think you are good. But, you know, now that I'm older, you can look at it, and it's no different from, you know, we all watch March Madness, right?
Yeah.
So from those 64 teams that are in March Madness, how many guys are being drafted?
Yeah, well,
that actually go that. And, you know, you from, let's just G League or even just the NBA.
Yeah.
There's that percentage, right? And so, you know, sometimes, you know, as much as people around you are telling you that you don't have it, and not in so many words, but you always want to see for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's a grind out there. You know, it's not easy. But like you said, there, you just see some guys and you just can tell, like, that's different from me.
Yeah.
That is different from me. you know, and you'd like to think, if I practice for 2-3 months, I can get there. And then you soon realize that just because you're putting the time in, it's not always going to turn out that way. Right. You get better.
Right.
But not that good.
Yeah.
You know, to the point where, you know, my dad would always say, he asked me, he's like, how many college tournaments did you win? And I'd be like, what's that have to do with anything? It's like, well, it's kind of pretty cut and dry that if you can't win there, what makes you think you can like go somewhere else and play?
Yeah.
You know, but it was always a dream of mine to at least give it a shot. And, you know, I can say that I did. And even though it was short lived, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, as when we played, you know, you talk about kind of like with golf, and there's a natural talent ability out there, you know, talent with desire and work ethic, you know, those three things together, if the talent's number one and the person has the other two, that's a home run.
But you know, a lot of people don't think golf is a sport to begin with. And I mean, I think now it's changed, and I think Tiger and a lot of these guys that are like after Tiger have like made it more that it is a sport, because these guys, it's not like you're not working out, but yet you see some of these guys that are like, how the hell is he golfing? And he's got a belly out to here, and it's
And I think that physique has changed, right? You know, like from the Craig Stadlers and some of the other guys. I mean, I think he's the most notable.
Yeah.
You know, but
Daly too.
Daly, no doubt. Pure talent, right?
Yeah.
You know, and you've golfed with Rob Marshall at Wilmette.
Yeah.
You know, he's always the one, you know, college soccer player.
Yeah.
You know, best athletes ever in his mind.
Yeah.
You know, but then you watch him play golf and you're just kind of like, a little hard to hitting that 60-yard off the fairway shot, right? So to answer your question, you know, I think as you see, that has trended a lot where there's more athletes playing. The guy who won the NCAA championship this year for an individual from Ole Miss looks like a rugby player, you know? And so I think a lot of golfers, for the most part, get underestimated. Like, there was a video of Scottie Scheffler balling, and he was a good athlete. You know, I think it takes a lot to swing this club at, let's say, 100 miles an hour and get it to go where you want consistently. You play on different terrains all the time. So I think it's, you know, when you talk about sports, sure, you know, it's not like there needs to be agility, you know, but I definitely think there needs to be athleticism and coordination to get your body to move the way you want, right? So I go against that, you know, where like, you know, not to toot my own horn, but it's like, I can throw a ball, I can hit a ball. You know, there's some athletic genes in there to allow me to swing the golf club.
Right.
You've been out there enough. You know, it's no different from when you hand someone a ball and say, throw it, and they throw it, and you're just kind of like, okay, I get it now. You know, versus someone throwing a ball and it looks like an athletic type of motion, yes?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think it's, you know, you don't have anyone else to help you either. You know, and everyone knows that. That's a very golf coin phrase, right? It's you, yourself, and the course.
Yeah.
You know, there's no one to pick you up. There's no one to help you out. And so I think a lot of that then is it's, as everyone has read, has seen, it's more mental sometimes than not.
Yeah.
And more than physical. So yeah, I mean, you can have a debate for as much as you want, whether it's a sport or not. But I definitely think it's hard. Yeah. As a game, you know, it's extremely hard, you know. But I think golf's doing a good thing with adding more things to make it seem more like a sport. Drive, putt, and chip, you know, where there's more competition outside of just tournaments.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. But as you know, too, you know, it allows a few different forms of it where, you know, like in basketball, you can play 3-on-3. Football, you can play the 7-on-7. You know, different ways where scrambles and all that. So I'll stick to, and the reason I'm bringing that up is that that's when it becomes a little more team-esque.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you have it's not traditional golf, but different scrambles, avenue. Yeah.
No, that's, yeah.
But, you know, like I said, you know, I think it is a very talented thing to watch someone swing it hard and hit it where they want, because I don't think it's that easy.
I don't think it's easy at all.
Right? And you play long enough, like in any other sport. And I think that's the one thing that, you know, with golf, there's this level of always having to be good where, you know, every other sport that we critique the morning after a game.
Yeah.
Everyone has bad games, bad days. You know, I think with golf, there's some reason or some expectation that you have to go out and always hit it well. you know, or I have to score well in order for it to be.
But that's the competition in us. I mean, no I think doubt. That's where I think I'm anybody who, I mean, anybody who's got any kind of competition inside of them always wants to be able to play well. Unless you, because I equate golf to you either love it or you hate it.
Agreed.
I don't think there's any middle ground.
It's hard to have middle ground, right?
And there's some guys, even, so my cousin is, he's not a golfer, but he will go and play.
Sure.
If he's invited and he's got time, yep, let's go.
Yep.
Won't keep score. And sure, that kind of drives me crazy. he won't keep score, but I'm like, whatever. I was right. Like, you know, but he's also conscious of the pace of play kind of thing or whatever. And if he's hitting like crap, he'll just pick it up and we'll go, which is awesome.
Yep.
Which is the way it should be.
Yep.
You know, but at the same time, even when he's hitting well, he's like, oh, like he wants to play well.
Yep.
And then when he doesn't, then it's like, okay, I don't play this game enough. I'll pick up. I'll talk. It doesn't matter.
And that's a good mentality to have if you're not like really into it.
Right.
You know, but I mean, I've been around guys that'll practice almost daily and they still have bad days. Right. So I like the competition. I agree with what you're saying, not disagreeing. Just, I think because it's so individual that we're our own worst critic. And that's what I mean, where it's kind of like, my coin phrase, call a spade a spade. Okay. You're an 18 handicap. How often do you think you're not you, sorry, right, but how
I'm
often,
14.
How often are you going to go out and actually play well?
Yeah.
Right. It's no different than if we went to play a pickup basketball game, which I don't know the last time I played basketball, and I went 1 for 10 from the 3-point land. And I was like, God, that sucked. Should have been better. Why should I have been better? You know, I'm not in basketball shape.
Yeah.
I haven't shot a basketball in how many years?
Right.
You know, now probably people out there are like, it's because you stink, Yopchik. You're not an athlete. I'm like, I'll do a 3-point contest with you.
Yeah.
But like, that's that, like I said, I'm just trying to compare it a little bit, you know? So I love the competitive aspect of it. But it, like I said, it is interesting and I've heard this from tennis too, where people are just hard on themselves.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, there's a little underestimation of what goes into doing it consistently.
Right.
Not just getting that flare of a good shot every so often, you know, and then, oh, well, I'm capable of doing that. Yeah, you are. But consecutively,
yeah,
how often do you know how to do it? So I know this is a long-winded answer, but I think golf's a sport to those who want to call it a sport. It's a game to those who want to call it a game. You know, you can go both sides of it.
Yeah.
You know, for those of you that would say it's not a sport, come find me at Wilmette. We'll play a money game and we'll see how you feel. You know what I mean? Like, right, you, like you said, being competitive. Right. And I think that's, yeah, I think there's that aspect of going out with guys like, you said your cousin.
Yeah.
Where wants to play well, but necessarily might not want to be part of a game. Right.
Yeah.
Hey, what's the game today? Where if it's you, me, and two other guys that have a handicap, play a little more often, we can have a game. Not that it always has to be about gambling, but it does add a little incentive.
Alcohol. A little,
right?
Alcohol, never heard
of it. No doubt. And so, yeah, I think at the end of the day, you can call it a sport.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. I would 100% agree.
And here's the other thing. You know, you talk to guys that are our age, play 3-4 days in a row. How are they feeling?
Oh, sore as hell.
Right?
Yeah,
backs a little,
walk.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
back's a little achy.
I don't take,
you know,
carts.
Right? So, you know, earlier in the year, I lugged my clubs for 18 at Wilmette, which is not a hard walk.
No.
And Adam at Wilmette convinced me to do it because I'm a rider. I won't lie. I like to ride. I stand for a living. So I give myself that little caveat.
Okay.
But the next day, I'm like gingerly walking. He's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, you know what's wrong. I'm like, we carried. It was windy, you know, and we played 18. And of course, he gave me some shit, but yeah. I was like, I just don't do it that often. So four days in a row, it's a lot.
I don't carry. I push cart. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's part of my exercise. Because during the summer, I'll try to go off at least 3 times a week.
Yep.
So I push cart, but I walk. I'll mm-hmm. walk every course unless they're like, nah, you kind of have to take
have
a cart.
To, yes, went spread
and
out.
I'm like,
yeah, I
okay,
get it.
Fine.
Yep.
Otherwise, I'm walking, but uh-huh. I'm always like, just was it last week or the week before? I played three, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yep.
Saturday, I woke up. My legs were like noodles. Like,
sure.
I was just like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
I can't, like, getting out of bed. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so fucking sore. I can't even believe that I, like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, granted, I'm not 20 either.
No, I get that too.
I mean, I'm only in my young 30s. But
who are you trying to convince?
Myself. That's why I've got the injury from tendonitis and everything. I try to walk and it's grueling. It really is. I mean, 4 hours of on your feet walking and you're on average anywhere between 5 and 6 miles.
No doubt.
And you're twisting and turning. And yeah, you're seeing some of the course because maybe you're walking 7 miles
hitting it somewhere
instead of the five that you should be walking.
But yeah, that's where I give it to players that do it a lot more often and or pros where, you know, they're getting their Tuesday, playing Tuesday through Sunday if they make the cut.
Yeah.
And they're doing it week in and week out.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of swings.
But we also don't have masseuses. We also don't have saunas.
Yes, at that level, yes.
I mean,
they're taking care of their bodies, yes. They're getting worked on if they need work. But
it's still just part of the grind, though, for the pros or semi-pro guys trying to get into it. They don't have all that, so I guess I shouldn't, like...
No, yeah, I mean, no doubt from the other sports, too. You get banged up.
Yeah.
You're sore. Yeah. You got to play through it a little bit. And I think as you get more used to it, you learn what you need to do to stay healthy. But, I mean, at 43, it beats me up, you know, we talk to guys who go do the excursion trips, let's say, where you're flying somewhere and you talk to them, they're there Thursday through Sunday. And
18.
I'm like, man, I was like, one day at 36 and I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, especially if it's somewhere special.
Yeah.
But that's about all I will sign up for.
Got it.
You know? I mean, when you get to that point when you can't do it and you're sore,
it's not fun anymore.
It's
because then you're just like, because you still want to go out,
you know, and you can only take so many Advil.
Well, see, and I think that's where we're spoiled here in Chicago. Well, for that, not I shouldn't say spoiled, but when we get the opportunity to play a lot, you want to play a lot because we don't have that opportunity. We're not in Florida. We're not in California. We're not in Arizona to be able to play year round.
Right.
You know, so we don't have that luxury. So it's if we can do 36 and it's a week, I'm doing 36. Agreed. And we're doing 36 because we got to get it in because otherwise I have to fly somewhere and
you give into it.
Yeah, yeah. You almost have to.
Yes.
I mean, that's just the way I feel.
Living
in the Midwest, anywhere where it's cold, if you love golf, you will golf as much as you possibly can because that's the only opportunity we're going to get.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
So, all right. So let's get back to your coaching now.
Yep.
Out at Wilmette.
Yep.
You do personalized and you have a lot of kids that you coach.
I do. You know, I have, it's probably 60-40 now with kids and adults. Used to be much more geared towards kids. But there's a lot more competition in the area that run year-round camps, year-round training programs. That's more than just a one-man show.
Okay.
So I've kind of geared more towards specializing in swing mechanics and the swing. Trying to teach the game a little bit, but as you can see now, too, the course is always packed, which is a good thing for golf.
Yeah.
I just don't have as much access to it as much as I'd like to say, hey, let's do a playing lesson at noon on a Thursday. Good luck.
I think COVID actually helped bring golf back. 'Cause to me personally, I thought golf was like dying.
You know, Jamie Locke, that old head pro, used to always tell me that, and I'm like, you're crazy.
No, but I honestly think before COVID, it was dying because then you started looking at golf courses being sold off.
Yes.
Like left and right, they were being sold off. They couldn't sell them because they were out in the middle of nowhere playing, you know, some cornfield, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I can only equate this because my ex-girlfriend, when we were living together, I was able to go play golf.
Yep.
She wasn't able to play any sport and she was a big softball player. And at that time, you couldn't even play softball, even though it's outdoors.
Yep.
But golf, you could.
Yep.
And it was awesome because the intervals were like every 15 or 20 minutes. You could only have two people at that tee time.
It's like you sprayed a ball, you wouldn't go look for it.
No. Yeah. But you were like, boom, 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 you know, 18 holes, you're done in 3 hours or less.
Yep.
And there was no traffic. And so it was awesome. It was the best time to play.
Let's go to Harborside. Sure. Why not?
Yeah, whatever. Because you were able to go out. But she got upset because she couldn't do anything. And here I'm like, all right, I'll see you later.
No, you're 100% right with that. You know, as I was saying, the former head pro at Wilmette, Jamie would be saying that. He's like, golf's dying, brother. I'm like, stop saying that. I don't need it. I don't want it to die.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to have to find something else to do. But he wasn't wrong. You know, I think that was when Tiger's era was coming to an end.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a little less and people really weren't into it as much. And I think COVID reinvented a little bit of a chill aspect to golf. you know, because of how it was.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of old rules that weren't being, in a good way, being upheld, like, you know, with the attire, the, I'll say it, stuffiness of the sport.
Yeah.
The, you know, the proper and prim etiquette, right?
Yeah.
Which I think etiquette's still out there. It's just, hey, how many guys you see out there now where the style is more loose, you know, shorts with an untucked shirt, flat brim hat.
Still kind of like on the rim.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. You know, personal. I mean, I'm still a traditionalist as well when it comes to, you know, I'm still like FootJoy, polo, you know, that type of look, like the pro look. But at the same time, I really like having music when I play now. And so it's like something similar to that where
smoking cigars.
You know, so music, I think it brought a chill aspect to get people out. And I think people realize like, hey, so I could spend 4 to 5 hours with the people I want to spend time with.
That's the big thing.
And right there, I think that's what drew people out. And, you know, almost more people like your cousin where it's like, hey, I don't give a shit what I shoot per se. I want to go play golf and go different places. You get 4 or 5 hours with your boys or your girls, whoever you're playing with. And it's a good time, you know, per se, right? You know, it's like depending on how you're playing.
I think the other thing that brought it back, and I'm going to shout out to the women. I think the women then finally decided to come out because of COVID and the reasoning behind that they didn't want to get stuck in. But now, I mean, even at Wilmette, I do have to say, I've seen way more women
big time
playing at Wilmette.
Yep.
And even at other courses, you know, Sunset or whatever, name them, than I have ever seen.
More than I've ever seen
to COVID.
Family golf at Wilmette has been a huge hit, getting all the families out there, mom, dad, kids. And then, yes, I mean, the women's group in the morning are pretty sound. Tee times are full. And then there's a lot more, like I said, I think there's a lot more ladies playing Twilight now during the week. So, yeah, you're spot on with that, which is good. You know,
But I think personally, I think that's what helped bring it back.
Yes.
Is women actually brought back the sport to where the courses were getting filled up more and you're seeing more foursomes of women or twosomes of women going out.
Big time.
Now they're even singles now that they're getting brave enough to go out and not worry about teeing up, you know, with three guys.
100%.
I mean, just with the social influencers, I mean, you see, I can't even tell you how many women social influencers I see all the time.
Yes, that's become a very popular trend, right? So, I would say all around from the women, kids, family, it definitely took a turn in the right direction. And luckily enough, I'm in that business to reap the benefits from it.
Yeah.
So it's been good.
So are you seeing the kids that you're coaching? You're coaching with high school? Do we have a high school team that you're coaching?
I do not help a high school team individually, but anywhere from, you know, probably 7, 8, 9 years old all the way through high school seniors. And then should they go on to play in college?
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of my age range with kids. It's nice because I still have some college kids that come back to get some tweaks done, you know, once or twice a summer just to keep it sharp.
Right.
You know, so that's about the age range that I coach. And then there are, you know, I don't know the exact percentage, but let's just call it half that are competitive and at the high level, and then some that are dipping into being competitive, you know, kind of starting to get their feet wet a little bit, and you know, kids coming over from other sports, they haven't played competitively yet. And then there's a handful of beginners that I coach.
So like on a shitty day today, it's raining out here today, will you actually go out and coach kids, or do you have kids that are be like, hey, I need to figure out like what to do in this? Do we go out? Do you?
Ironically, today I don't have any kids on the schedule. It's all adults. So most likely, you know, it's hard to convince people in June to go indoors, you know.
Yeah.
Some people opt into it. It just depends on what they have coming up, what they want to work on. You know, if you're going on a trip, of course, somebody's going to say, hey, let's keep it. I need some swings. Let's fine tune it a little bit. But beginners, younger kids, I'll reschedule. Competitive kids that I would just say anywhere from 7th grade through senior high school, day like today, as long as it's not pouring out or thundering and lightning, it's wet, let's go deal with it. You know, you're going to have to do it at a tournament. So you might as well get a little bit of experience, but I think I make good decisions on whether it's worth it or not.
Yeah.
You know, if it's just all puddles out there, not really.
Yeah.
But no bitching and moaning if it's drizzling and a little bit of it. No one does. I hate it too. I'm a softie when it comes to rain and cold. I don't love it.
Yeah, cold rain or like 20-30 mile an hour right. winds. I absolutely
no.
Hate
I know it's kind of like one of those things where, you know, let's say you have a buddy that flies in for the weekend and it's like this. You'll make it work.
You have to because you know, flew in for it.
Right. I mean, if it's just one of those days where you just can't, right. you know, where it is just pouring out or it's just not going to be worth it, then fine. We have to cancel. But you'll try and, like I said, you'll put the big boy pants on and try and go make it work and play the game. And
well, and that's what sucks is because, like, for our men's league that we have at yep. Wilmette, it's rain or shine, and you got to play. And I'm just like, oh, please don't rain.
I know.
So I've had to play the last 2 years, except for this past year,
uh-huh.
in the rain.
Yep.
And it sucked.
It's not fun. I think it was
still cold.
2 years ago, it was a day like out today. It was colder out, and we still played.
I know, and I had to play. I was playing that day. I'm just like, oh, I was fucking miserable. Right? It was the worst.
I know. It's
and I'm like, this of all the things that I hate, fucking cold and rain.
It's not fun to play the game. No, not golf, at least. It's not easy. You can't get warm. Hands are cold. Clubs are wet. Nah, it's not a – I'll pass.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not a big fan of the – the inclimate weather, but if you're playing tournaments, you gotta battle the elements.
Yeah, you gotta play through it. You gotta go through it.
Yes.
So, any kids that you see on the up and coming right now that you're like, I got a couple guys that girls also that are just like, you know, these guys are gonna D1 possibly, and
yeah, you know, it's hard to put that pressure on a kid to say D1, just because it's gotten a lot more competitive, right?
Yeah.
And as I've tried to tell them, if the parents are interested in asking questions about it, there has to be a certain part of you have to be selfish to get there. You know, my sister, even my wife, or you know, your friends from when growing up will be like, you were a big nerd in high school. I'm like, screw you. Can you see me out there on the volleyball court pounding it down? I can play. I can hold my own.
Right.
And, you know, but the point being is that, like, you have to understand how to balance your time and put the time in if you want to get your game ready to play at a certain level, right? And you never know how kids are going to adapt to that, right? So yes, up and coming, always, you know?
Yeah.
There's a handful of kids that I have. I always like to say, you know, the stable of players always seems to have a certain flow to it, right? You know, you kind of stick with a certain group for a long time and then you start over, or it's like, I would say right now it's kind of that in between, right? You know, I don't have too many older kids per se, but I have a younger crew now.
Yeah.
You know, a bunch of eighth graders going into freshman year, a couple of freshmen, sophomores that, you know, if they take the escalator in the right direction, sky's the limit.
Yeah.
You know, but it's hard to say.
Yeah.
You know, as they get older, interests change, you know, so I would say I probably have one or two kids that have the fire right now.
Okay.
And, you know, about a dozen that can get there. Maybe not a dozen, but, you know, I'm just throwing numbers out there. But but I've always said, you know, if you get to a level where you're playing and you're being competitive in high school and you can hold your own, I think that's a pretty good accomplishment.
Yeah.
You know, going to that next level is always tough, like in any sport, right?
Yeah.
You know, I like the stable I have right now. It's a good group of kids. And it's fun to see some of the younger kids out there all the time now. You know, it reminds me of myself a little bit, you know, where they're there every day.
Yeah.
You know, running out, stealing range balls when they can late at night so they don't have to pay for another bucket. You know, sneaking on the – not that you really have to sneak on the course anymore because there's the junior membership, right? But there are a good group of kids that I've got right now. And, you know, I always wish them the best, no matter what their aspirations are. And I always try to keep them grounded a little bit when they talk about what they want to do, you know, one step at a time.
Right.
You know, it's easy to look way ahead and say, I want to play college golf. I'm like, all right, well, a lot goes into that.
So what are some of your favorite courses besides Wilmette that you like playing at when you get the time off? Cause I mean, during the summer, you're like constantly teaching.
Yeah, I grind a little bit.
For the most part.
Yeah, and
I mean, you have to because the winter, I mean, unless 100%, you go somewhere.
You know, and that's part of the gig, which I don't complain about. I love it, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, it's I get have the best office. I consider it one of the best offices.
Yeah, you're outside all day. Yeah.
But Sunset Valley has always been dear in my heart. I've always had when I was younger, always seemed to play well there. So I think that goes into it.
Okay.
Plus it's pretty well manicured. And it's not far, right?
Yeah. I actually love that course. Yeah, that's one of my favorite courses.
So,
Glencoe is another real nice.
I'm not a fan of Glencoe.
Really?
Yeah, no, I just, It does not fit my eye. I just never play well there. I've three putted the first hole more times than I can count. You know, and even when I tell so I'm not a fan of Glencoe. But then Northwest, Prairie Isle is one of my favorites.
Out in Crystal Lake.
Yep, that's a little far.
176.
Yep. You know, so a lot of my favorite court, like Highlands of Elgin is one of my favorites.
Oh, Highlands and Bowes Creek.
And Bowes Creek are both really good.
Those are nice courses that I like playing at. Yeah.
The one I haven't gotten to yet that everyone raves about is the Preserve at Oak Meadows.
That is a great course, but last year I do have to complain that the greens were shit. Pocketed. And this is, again, I've talked about this before, is I hate that people do not fix their ball marks.
Yeah. No, it's gotten to become a little bit of an issue. You know, it's, I don't know. I have no problem telling someone to, you know, I get it. You might forget, you know, if you have a bad hole, you might forget, you know, but if it's continuous, be like, hey, well, you know, want me to get your ball mark for you?
Yeah.
And then that's how I would bring it up. You know, might think it's rude, but it's like, hey, it's not my job to fix your ball mark.
It's a stupid thing, but I mean, there's times when I'm like, if I'm waiting for somebody, I'm looking on the green, like, all right, I'm fixing, because it's just annoying.
I'm the same way.
Because everybody wants great greens, but then they bitch when it's not a great green. It's like, okay, ass wipe. It's because you don't fix your freaking ball marks.
Yes. It's funny when you ask that too, because like being in the golf profession, you know, like all my favorite courses are private.
Of course.
You know, right? So the ones that I can't play are the ones I like the most.
Yeah.
Now, it has nothing to do with it being private. It's just that they are good. You know, like in the North Shore, there are some top rated golf courses.
Yeah. But you're paying for it. I mean, you're paying a premium to build it.
Yes. Yeah. So those are probably, like, when I get to choose, I think those are, and a lot of times too, you know, you go from convenience, right? It's like, not like I want to drive all the way out to Highlands of Elgin all the time to play, but it's worth it.
Right.
You know?
Once or twice. Three times a year.
Yeah, you know, and I know Winnetka's always been one of my... So, like, you know how you go between Winnetka and Glencoe? Like, Winnetka fits my eye.
And I never played Winnetka because Winnetka always was... To me, everyone's just like, it's a crap course. Don't even bother.
I think it needed a reno. But it's tree line.
Like, what, $15 million into it or something like that?
It's pretty good. You know, it's worth a shot. You know, I think it's worth checking out. I haven't been there this year, but had a few buddies in from town last year, and we went up there and played and had a great time. You know, so I like tree-lined golf courses. I'm not a big link-style guy. My eye has a tough time, too, which is funny that I like Highlands of Elgin.
Yeah,
because that's links, one. It is, sport. But yeah. I think there's enough around there because it has enough around it, per se, where it's not just all flat links.
True.
You know, so there are some...
We're hitting on elevation.
Yeah, there's some demographic out there that I can at least feed off of out there.
Yeah.
But again, you know what's funny is like when you ask me that question, you know, I'm smiling because if you were to pull up a map right now of like the Chicagoland Golf Course, oh yeah, that one too.
Yeah.
You know, I just forget sometimes like what other courses are.
Well, if you don't play them all the time and you don't have time to play every day or even three times,
just forget about some of them. Yeah. You know what I mean?
There's some great courses. Oh, shit, I did remember. Yeah.
And I actually don't mind. I like playing Deerfield too.
I haven't played Deerfield in 10 years.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a really sweet practice facility. But, you know, but if I'm the one making the game, obviously Wilmette's in my backyard, so I'll choose that. But right. I do like going to Sunset.
Yeah,
you know, I like the course. It always plays decent. You know, it's a challenge from the tips.
Yeah.
And it's usually in good shape. So what about you? Do you have any couple favorites?
Sunset, Glencoe. I'm like Glencoe's a big one for me. But all the ones we just set, Bowes, when I get a chance to get out there, Highlands, the Preserve is nice. Again, not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Preserve is, I think, $80 or $90 with a cart.
Yep.
And Bowes and Highland, it's $70, which isn't terrible.
That's not bad at all.
I think it's like $70 with a cart.
We played number two at COG for $95 over Memorial Day weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, Cantigny, that's a great course.
It is, but they're up there too now.
It's expensive. I played Arrowhead, which is out, like, I think it's St. Charles.
Yep.
That's a great course. It's a 27-hole course.
So I've not played there.
It's beautiful. It was at least 2 years ago when I played it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's like, how do you get to all of these to play when not everybody wants to travel? Everybody wants to stay in their little pocket.
No doubt.
You know, especially the guys from Wilmette. They don't want to travel too far. For that's like, oh my God, come on, guys.
I know, I'm with you. But yeah, no, I mean, all over. I mean, the golf prices have soared a little bit, obviously due to its popularity.
Yeah.
And I think that's good. You know, I mean, it's the demand's there.
Yeah.
So as long as the demand's there, might as well cash in on it. And of course, you know, I do think there are some places that are a little sideways with what they are charging.
Yeah.
You know, but again, I'm not.
Seven Bridges.
It's probably one of them. I'm not a fan of that place. I'm not either. But yeah, but that, I think if you've played golf long enough, it's always been like that, right?
Yeah.
You know, you go somewhere and you pay the downstroke and you get finished and you're like,
yeah.
You know, and I think that's very common in golf. It's not a $150 course, it's a $120 course.
Yeah. But you know what? I think if you're a beginner, you've got no business really going out to a real golf course to pay that kind of money, yeah. Where I think you definitely should be and probably be better for you to play like a Forest Reserve course.
That
you're only paying $20, mm-hmm. You're playing nine holes.
Mm-hmm.
Or even Des Plaines, I think, has got that little par yep. three, nine hole. That you're better off doing that, yes. Practicing on that kind of stuff.
Agreed.
Instead of getting out and then trying to play a big boy on 18,
mm-hmm.
And then you're holding everybody up.
That's fair.
Because
you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a big pet peeve of mine.
Yeah.
But also in the area, you have Canal Shores. You have, not Chicago, but
yeah.
Canal did a great job with their reno. You have Winnetka, Glenview Prairie. You have Annisburger up north.
Yeah.
So there's, to your credit, or not your credit, what you're saying is that there are, I think, a lot more nine-hole opportunity courses now for people to play to.
Yeah.
You know, and I think part of that's why we get a good amount of people at Wilmette, too. And I'm not throwing Wilmette under the bus, but right. It is a shorter course and a relatively easy walk.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not hard to get around the front nine there.
Which is, you know, not to cut you off, which is that nine that's in Park Ridge, the nine hole course? It's got a real nice bar.
Tam O'Shanner.
Tam.
Yes, Niles. Tam.
Yes, that's a decent.
It is. Hole. That's a great that's one.
Especially for practicing.
And I think they have good food there at
The food's good
Howard Street Inn.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's more opportunity out there for people to play and get out there. That where, like you said, you're not paying that 100 plus downstroke to
right.
tee it up.
Yep.
So
exactly.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
So I know you're also working on something on the side with golf.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing a app of some sort.
Yeah.
Or something to that effect.
Yeah. So it's been a cool process. Met a couple guys that were at Kellogg in business school.
Okay.
Luke and Chang. Chang went to Cornell. He was an engineer for Amazon for 8 years. Went back to grad school. Luke was a business consultant in China and then came to Kellogg. And Luke was the one who approached me because his father-in-law is a big golfer.
Okay.
And he never played before. And that was a year and a half ago, it'd be 2 years in February when I met him. And this past fall, they both approached me about a golf app. And at first, I didn't know where they were going with this. And now it's been a year in the making. We're actually working with the golf practice, which is a big academy up in Deerfield. Oh, they okay. have, I don't know how many different kids that have gone off to college and how many colleges.
No, but this isn't the Hank Haney one, is it?
That's different. But okay. Ironically, Chris okay. Olerking, who is their head instructor and owner, part owner, one of the owners at the golf practice,
okay.
Used to work with Hank Haney.
Oh, okay.
And so Hank was there. And I think he's still teaching there. I don't know. I see online that he possibly has a new studio.
I think he does on his own. I maybe just saw something he ventured recently. Up, but when it he says moved, Hank Haney something.
Yes, I saw the same thing. So yeah, yeah. I don't know okay. if that's 100% legit. But I do know he is and or was coaching out of the golf practice.
Okay.
So it's a new app where it connects. The main focus is to connect student and coaches a little bit more directly with what they're learning, and it basically develops an encyclopedia of you. So every lesson is detailed. AI captures the voiceover of what we're talking about and then gives you bullet points about what your lesson is. You have your videos, and it also allows you to practice on your own. So the app that I would use to coach you,
yeah.
you could use your own, use yourself with the help of a tripod, but all the same features I have with the AI, with AI, the drawing tools. So you, like I said, you'll have your encyclopedia of all your lessons, what you worked on. And what we're doing is we're working with the golf practice directly and detailing the app to perform for the way they want it for their facility. So the goal is to get it out there and have individual players use it for their own benefit, coaches to use it, for instance, for people like myself, to build that encyclopedia or roadmap of your golf game and your swing. And then for bigger facilities, being able to highlight their programs within the app.
Okay.
So it's all under one big entity.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'm excited about it. So thanks for asking.
So what's it called?
Swing. S-W-I-I-N-G. I tease the guys.
I-I-N-G. Okay.
Yeah. I told the guys, I'm like, very original. but you know, sometimes original is good.
Yeah.
But it's been really cool to be a part of something something that they've picked my brain quite a bit about.
Yeah.
So it's been a really cool process. I'm excited to see what happens.
That's awesome. How far are we now?
We're close. You know, as we've learned, you know, we want to make sure it's right before we launch it.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping this month.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah.
June.
Yeah. The boys are going to the golf practice tomorrow to talk about next steps, hopefully contract.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, it's there. And I've been using it sporadically to see where some of the glitches need to be worked on.
Okay.
Yeah, just a little bit. When I say glitches, just
when it comes first out is never fucking perfect. It's never going to be perfect.
But I'm excited about it. I think people are going to like it, and I hope it gains some traction. You know, once we get things rolling with the golf practice, I think there's going to be some of those other facilities in the North Shore and that are going to notice what we can provide, and then we'll see where it goes.
So is it going to be prescription-based, subscription-based?
Yes.
So somebody downloads it on their iPhone or Android, whatever?
Yes. I think we'll probably roll out a monthly and a yearly.
Okay.
You know, like similar to a bunch of other apps that are out there.
Yeah.
We don't have price points just yet, but I think it's kind of what I would consider affordable.
Okay.
Where you would look at it and consider it. You know, if you're an avid golfer, you run a facility or you're a coach full time, and or have an academy that you own and or teach out of. So, yeah, I'm pretty pumped.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thanks, man.
That's great. No, that's awesome that you're even doing something like that, because I never would have. For me, that's like way out of my.
Well, when they approached me, like I said, I didn't know where they were going, but both guys, turned down full time offers out of Kellogg to pursue this. And we've invested a lot of time and some money into it. So knock on some wood that it takes off the way we're envisioning.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So we are going to be able to get to talk some more, because Scott and I are going to go and play nine holes. Not today, but we are going to go play nine holes. And if you guys stay tuned, you'll be able to catch us out on the Wilmette Golf Course playing nine. Hope you guys stay tuned, and we will see you soon.
That was awesome, man.
Oh, it was a good time, dude. Appreciate it.
Definitely. Thanks,
it was
man.
Good.
That was a really good it was time. Good.
Guys, again, appreciate Scott coming out here and hitting nine with us. Remember his new app. It'll be coming out in 3 to 4 weeks. It's called Swing.
Yep.
Swing. If you like the content, do me a favor. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube, and we will catch you again later. All facts, no fluff. Remember. Love you guys.